still some who hate me. Tell them lies and still that don't wake me. The joy that's inside brings out my healthy smile, my smile. And I try if you won't, can't stop me lying if you won't. Still won't move me, won't move me, no, won't move me at all. I know who I am, I don't know nobody. Only rest to make me and you end up sorry. The fire will come to you like a child.
I'm Getting Stronger by Barris Hammond. Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson. This week we will be talking about the cultural life of the Skid Row community. An interview with Ben Guillory, co-founder and artistic director of the Roby Theater Company, and Reverend Sandy Richards of the First United Methodist Church of Los Angeles. Also, a live in-studio interview and performance by actor, community activist Lee Shaw. But first, we have with us on the line Andy Griggs. He's with ICUJP, Interfaith Communities United for Justice and Peace. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing just fine, Melvin. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, there's an event coming up on Saturday, December the 10th, 2011, at 7 o'clock p.m. at the Peace Center on the campus of USC. Can you tell us a little about it?
Yeah, first of all, it should be noted that this is partially in recognition of International Human Rights Day, which is December 10th, and it honors the Treaty on International Human Rights, which was signed by many countries across the world on December 10th in the UN. And we are going to be doing a performance. It's a reading and performance of a piece called Reckoning with Torture, Memos and Testimonies from the War on Terror. And it is based on a script that was put together by the American Civil Liberties Union and the Pan American Center. And it will be nine actors and followed doing a reading and including some tape from the National Religious Campaign Against Tortures, some video, and some additional material from the Veterans Project, the reading of a letter by John Needham, who was a GI who was in Iraq and witnessed so many examples of torture and mayhem in his stay over there, and that when he returned home, he actually, while trying to get help from the VA for PTSD, did not get that help and ended up dying under what seems to be taking his own life. And his father will be reading a letter from him, which just is stunning. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to expose the American people to what was going on at Guantanamo Bay. and, of course, adding the material from Iraq. And we are also trying to make a connection between that and the fact that there is torture going on here in the U.S. in the prison system as well.
In the shoes, the security housing units.
Exactly.
Now, let me ask you this, Andy. Why, in your opinion, why should the community be concerned with torture?
Well, first of all, it's very interesting. We remember Abu Ghraib when it was notified. You know, we were told about that and, you know, the horrors of that. And, Americans were shocked and amazed that we would have ever used any kind of torture, that this was not what the U.S. was all about. Yet, we know, if we look back at our historical facts, that we have been practicing torture from the time we came to this country, the European settlers came to this country, when we displaced the indigenous peoples who lived here, whether it was bringing blankets that were filled with smallpox, whether it was forcing them off their land, all of those things were aspects of it. We go back to the throughout war time. Torture happens all the time. If you look at what happened in Vietnam, when we talk about the pacification campaigns that was happening in Vietnam. And what it is that Interfaith Communities United for Justice and Peace, as well as a lot of other organizations, are saying this should not be happening. And they're trying to put Congress on the line to hold more hearings, to open up the public record so that people can see what's going on. And yet this stuff goes on an everyday basis. And we're hoping to reach a few more people to stand up and say this is the wrong thing to be happening.
Let me ask you about this, because since 9/11, they're always talking about the ticking bomb theory. Do you think, is torture allowed in any circumstance?
I cannot condone any kind of torture. We're talking about human beings here. We're talking about people who are, first of all, there's a fallacy that seems to think that you get information. If somebody's under duress and stress and pain, they're going to say anything they want, anything you want, if you're applying the torture, in order to stop it. And so I can't condone it in any case.
Okay. Now, Andy, can you tell us a little about ICUJP?
Well, ICUJP, Interfaith Communities United for Justice and Peace, was formed shortly after the attacks on the World Trade Center, on the Pentagon, and on in Pennsylvania, because a group of very active religious leaders knew that what the response of the U.S. would be to react with anti-Muslim feelings, Islamophobia, and also with the idea of retribution, and to use it as an excuse to invade other countries. Now, two wars later, billions, trillions of dollars later, this has all been shown to be true. ICUJP adopted the slogan or the vision that interfaith communities must stop endorsing war and violence. And as part of that, we've done anti-war demonstrations. On October 7th, we had a demonstration where 14 people were arrested commemorating the 10th anniversary of the invasion of Afghanistan. And we continue our work continues, and the torture aspect is a big part of the work that we've been doing over the years.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell us a little about the basic information about the meeting time that the group meets every Friday over at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church?
Right. As you said, we meet every Friday morning at 7 a.m. for those who wake up early. And we have amazing programs Friday mornings that range from speakers talking about labor issues, social justice issues, the Middle East crisis, anti-war. We had people in talking about the grocery strike, hotel workers. So it's, you know, economic justice. It's any kind of issues that people of faith should be concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Now, where is this?
It meets every Friday. People can find out more about us by going to our website, which is www.icujp.com. I'm sorry, .org. And I really hope that people will come to this event. Of course, working closely with Drama Stage Qumran is a very exciting part for us. So, this program and two others, we'll be getting two others performances. We're funded by the Diane Middleton Foundation down in San Pedro. And we hope to be having people come. It's a free event. And see that they can maybe bring it to their either community. A community organization could sponsor this. A congregation could sponsor it. We want to see this done and to educate people about the real issues that are out there regarding this and how that they can be a part of putting pressure on the U.S. to stop validating this.
And we're looking forward to it. And Andy, also we have one of the performers from Reckoning with Torture in the studio, Miss Earlene Anthony. And we also have the person who worked on the graphic design, Martha Media, Ty, here. I'm going to ask them to have a comment starting with Miss Earlene Anthony about the event.
Well, you should also mention that we have the director of the event speaking to me right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Full disclosure here, Malcolm.
Full disclosure.
Right. Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Of course, I'm going to announce this in the community calendar for December, the event for in recognition of International Human Rights Day, which is December 10th. I'll be announcing the information and the address, location, time, and asking people to come and bring some people with them, because everyone is welcome to attend.
Yes, great. And one last thing, we didn't mention that there will be a panel discussion after the performance.
Right.
The performance is about an hour long,
mm-hmm.
and there will be a panel discussion to talk about the issues that are brought up, because it's, you know, it is. It's very heavy material, and, you know, but it needs to be discussed and it needs to be dealt with. And so we'll have professionals there, people from the cast.
Right.
As I said, Michael Needham, who's the father of the young man who wrote the letter about what he experienced in Iraq, will be there on the panel. And it should be of great interest to all who can come.
All right. And then a comment from Ty.
Hey, okay. Andy, good evening. How are you?
Hey, Ty.
You know, as I was in the process, the creative process, and I thank you for being the kind of art director that you were on this project. I have my own demons. I have my own personal experiences with man's inhumanity to man. And one of the last things that we did for this project was create a slideshow of images that I found. And just like you said, Andy, this is not a topic to be taken too lightly. And we hope that we have compiled a visually impressive piece that will convey the message that this torture is completely an unnecessary act, not only to try to gain information, but it's just a it's just not right, you know? Okay. All right, Melvin.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Andy Griggs, CUJP, Interfaith Communities United for Justice and Peace. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Now, on Sunday, October the 23rd, 2011, a forum was held at the Exchange, located at 114 West 5th Street, to assess the needs of homeless veterans. I would like to play a short presentation from one of the panelists, Reverend Sandy Riches of the First United Methodist Church of Los Angeles. The presentation is 5 minutes and 54 seconds.
Reaching out to the community beyond the normal service providers who specialize in veterans issues is the great, right, Reverend Sandy Richards from the First United Methodist Church.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm here because Melvin and Erlene asked me to be here, and we are. I'm representing a small congregation in downtown LA, but as Jeff said, I'm connected with lots of congregations. So if you're looking for a house of worship and you need a place where you feel like your experience can be told, you don't have to worry about talking to the pastor about whatever it is, or if you feel like you might be judged somewhere else. If our congregation doesn't fit you, I can help you find a place. So we are a Christian congregation. We're United Methodist, but we're friends with lots of other kinds of religious leaders. So if you're Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or what have you, Soka Gakkai, which is a form of Buddhism, there's lots and lots of institutions in LA and feed your spirit. And so I'll be glad to, Melvin and Erlene always know how to get a hold of me, and so does Jeff. But if you would like some consultation on where to find a place to go, I would be very, very glad to help you find that. Obviously, we'd love you to come to our church, which is at Flower and Olympic on Sundays at 10:15. We don't have a building right now. We've been in downtown since 1854, and we don't have a building right now. We've got several, but at this point, we're renting. So you'll find us at Flower and Olympic at the Via Flores multi-purpose room. There's a place, 1020 South Flower. It's senior housing. You go around to the back. It's a very nice little garden area. On 9/11 this year, the 10th anniversary of the attacks, we decided to go in a different direction, and we invited Jeff and the Veterans Project to come to our church and talk to us about veterans, because we know that for the past 10 years, lots and lots of people have served in the armed forces to an extent that they've maybe almost never ever been asked to before. And we know the toll that takes on families, but just on a person's mind. We know how being in combat, no matter how you've been in combat, no matter where in the world you've been in combat or why, it changes a person's mind. And so the trauma that people suffer needs to be addressed in the community as much as it's addressed, in these special ways that we've heard of from New Directions and other organizations like that. And I know I've talked with many veterans. I know some of the terrible things people have seen and how hard it is to tell a pastor, especially someone who's never been in combat, what you've experienced, what you've done and had to do, what you've seen done. And I just want you to know that we know that the most important thing for anyone to do who is recovering from trauma is to tell the story over and over again until that memory actually moves from that part of your lizard brain where you're reacting, where the PTSD is causing your anxiety, your heart rate, your stress, and your cortisol, to your prefrontal cortex, the thinking part of your brain that knows about past, present, and future, that can distinguish between a car backfiring and a gunfire, or can allow you to see fireworks again without feeling activated. And so churches, houses of worship can help you find those places, can help you find places to work it out in your spirit. It's not psychology or psychiatry. We refer you to places like New Directions for that. But it is a place where you can bring your whole self, all that you've done and all that you've experienced, and open your soul for healing in the way that feels most appropriate for you. And we welcome women who've been in the military too. We know there are some special issues with women that are not being addressed. And also gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. There are special issues there as well. And we are open to all of those in my congregation. There are other congregations open to those if those are your concerns. We are really welcoming. You don't even have to be Christian to come to be with us every Sunday. And a few people who come aren't. But most people are. And they're pretty broad-minded folk. And we do work for peace. We know, though, that soldiers deserve a place of honor and respect. And so you'll find us advocating for peace, and that's mostly to save the armed forces from all but the most necessary conflicts. And we honor and thank all the veterans who have given so much, the ones who come back whole and alive in their bodies, sometimes have lost something in their souls and minds, who can't unsee what you've seen. And so we want you to know that you're welcome among us, and that we actually, in our diversity at our church, we have every kind of diversity you can think of. We're a small congregation. On any given Sunday morning, you'll find people from 11 nations and 4 continents. That's a big diversity. You'll find people from age 3 to age 93, and we have a new one to be born in December. So we have every kind of diversity you can think of, but we're kind of lacking in the veterans issue. So if you want to come and fill out the veterans group, we welcome you, and help us to know more about what it is that that veterans are experiencing, or that you are experiencing as a vet. And so I think that's really all I wanted to say, just that we welcome you, and that I really appreciate the Veterans Project and Jeff. I appreciate Melvin and Erlene and all that Drama Stage Vermont does, and all that all of you do to make our community a whole place.
Okay, at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Erlene Anthony for our community calendar.
This is the community calendar for November and December. Thursday, November the 29th at 7 p.m., Dr. Mongo will host a Poetic Justice League at Fernando's. Fernando's is located at 519 South Spring Street. For more information, you can contact 213-784-1703. And I repeat, that is on, Tuesday, November the 29th. Friday, December 2nd, and Saturday, December the 3rd, from 12 to 4 p.m., the L.A. Poverty Department presents a festival for all of the Skid Row artists in Gladys Park. And Gladys Park is located at the corner of 6th and Gladys. You're asked to spread the word and invite fellow friends and fellow artists to sign up. For more information, email info@lapoverdept.org or text Arietta 310-277-6071 or Kevin Micah Key 213-948-6159. And on Sunday, December the 10th at 7 p.m., in recognition of International Human Rights Day, which is December the 10th, ICUJP, Interfaith Community United for Justice and Peace, and Drama Stage Qumran, in conjunction with LA Region Religious Campaign Against Torture, presents Reckoning with Torture, dramatic readings of memos and testimonies from the War on Terror. This will be followed by a professional discussion panel. This event is located at the United University Church, USC campus, 817 West 34th Street. And this is a free event. All are welcome to attend. We ask you to spread the word on this. For more information, you can contact 213-748-1643. This is just a reminder, if you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com. Attention, Erlene Anthony. And once again, our call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now back to our host.
Thank you, Ms. Earlene Anthony. On Veterans Day, November 11, 2011, Drama Stage Coonron, the Veterans Project, and the Roby Theater Company joined forces to provide veterans free admission to a dinner and a play at the Los Angeles Theater Center. Last week, we had an interview with Judith Bowman, Development Director for the Roby Theater Company. This week, in our Voices from the Community section of the program, we are proud to present an interview with Ben Guillory, co-founder and artistic director of the Roby Theater Company. The interview is 12 minutes and 31 seconds.
So can you tell me a little bit something about the show that's going to be performed tonight?
Well, it's called Pity the Proud Ones. Kurt Dana Maxey, who lives in the neighborhood, too. He's got a small loft space not far from here. And he wrote the play, Pity the Proud Ones. In our playwrights program, it was developed, and Dana's been part of that for the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And he was working on the play before that. So it's quite an arc to the creative line of from page to the stage, mm-hmm. so to speak, for this play. And we've been running for 4 weeks now. This is the fourth week. We closed this weekend on Sunday the 13th. Mm-hmm. And things have been going very well. You know, the Roby Theater Company, Roby was Paul Robeson's mm-hmm. nickname. Mm-hmm. He's the inspiration for the theater company title. And so his social consciousness, his artistry, his humanity has been what drives the consciousness of the Roby Theater Company. Has a social consciousness. Most of what we do has some kind of social consciousness. It's still theater. Mm-hmm. It's still high theater. Mm-hmm. As opposed to getting on a soapbox, because mm-hmm. that's something else. Mm-hmm. But most of the work we do has a social consciousness. And Pity the Proud Ones speaks to family, speaks to responsibility to one another, loving about one another, and debts. Hmm. Debts that should be paid, whether they're emotional debts or monetary debts. When one incurs a debt, the honorable thing is to take care of it. Mm-hmm. Take care of it. Mm-hmm. As the deal was set in the first place. And there's that element in there. It's the tagline is there's families more than just blood. You know, the Japanese say we have two families, the one we're born into and the one we choose. And there are those elements in the play. It takes place in Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, which is incidentally is the oldest city in the country. I didn't know that until I started working on the play in 1915, so it's a period piece. Mm-hmm. And it's a very multiracial play in the sense that we have a father who sired a son from a black Seminole Indian woman. And so he's a mulatto son, and he and his father are at great odds. And there's much tension between them. And they come together after not seeing each other for a year at a bordello in St. Augustine that happens to be owned by the father's ex-lover.
Wow.
And there's a second woman who is the son's lover, and another guy who is the lover of the owner of the bordello. So in about an 8-hour period, which is the timeline of the play, starts about 10:30 in the evening and ends about 5 a.m., there is a hurricane looming and hits St. Augustine while all this is happening. And as you can imagine, it's not an accident that the playwright put this in the play. It's a metaphor for metaphor for the emotional life of the play.
What brought you to the Roby? How did you get involved with the Roby?
Well, I was one of the co-founders.
Okay. Yeah. And how long ago was that?
This is our 18th year.
Okay.
And so in 94, Danny Glover, who was the other co-founder, mm-hmm. and I, we've known each other since before we were actors, and when we became actors, we both lived in San Francisco, mm-hmm. we became actors and we did a lot of work together, and we both became admirers of Paul Robeson, and both were weaned in the theater, so to speak. And like most actors, we talked about it when we were younger about starting our own theater.
Theater company.
Yeah, to do the kind of work we wanted to do. And the Roby ended up being that theater company.
It's small. I can recall during my early days of homelessness down here, I would walk past this building. I would walk past a lot of things down here on Spring Street. And back then, it just wasn't time. You know, I wasn't ready for it because I was in my disease, and I saw that the city, this area, really wasn't ready for it. But the Renaissance has hit, and it's changed, and
yeah.
you can feel it.
Yeah.
But my question to you is this. LAPD for a long time has had what's called a policy of containment. You know, it's like you have this border. You have this zone, you know. It's sort of like a Fort Apache kind of thing, the way I look at it right mm-hmm. now. You have like Spring Street, you have First Street, you have 7th, and then you have, like, say, Central. And within that 50-square block, you have what's called Skid Row, okay? How do you feel about what's going on out here versus what's going on within that 50-square block area of Skid Row where there's homeless, where the tents?
It's very painful.
Yes.
I find it very painful. Of course, not as painful to me mm-hmm. as it is to the people who are living it. Mm-hmm. But it breaks my heart mm-hmm. to watch that happen mm-hmm. and to witness it for so long mm-hmm. and for it to be so sustained. Mm-hmm. And with all the wealth and all the seeming resources that are available, that there isn't a remedy. And it just speaks to the priorities of the supposed responsible politicals of the city mm-hmm. that this thrives, in a sense, mm-hmm. here.
Yes, it does.
You know, I think it's pretty shameful. I mean, anywhere in the country, this is, you know, supposed to be America.
Right.
All of that means and that has been heralded as, you know, it's... And veterans at that.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
People who have... I don't need to describe
to...
You, of course, you know, but this is, you know, it's... I find it very tough. You said a little while ago, and it made all the sense in the world, it's applicable to most... What did you say? You were in your disease?
Yeah, my disease, right.
Yeah, when... That kind of disease, I think, is, you know, one has to be ready,
yes.
as you say.
Yes, yes.
You know, you have to be ready to accept assistance. Hopefully, anyone that reaches out with an open palm, mm-hmm. you have to be ready to accept it.
Right, right.
But some people, you know, need more than that. Some people need less, I suppose. I wouldn't put myself as somebody who could have a pat answer mm-hmm. to that. Life is an individual journey for each and everybody, and it's a tough one. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care who you are. Everybody's got their demons mm-hmm. in the dark at night, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit who you are. Mm-hmm. Everybody's carrying some of that stuff, you know, because
yes.
we're all human and all of that. So, it's God bless everybody, you know. I mean, I just find it very painful, Tyrone. I wish I could do more. I try to do a few things. It's hardly anything, but then again, it's better than nothing. At the end of the day, I tell myself that. You know, we're doing this evening. The theater offers a kind of reservoir or place to come and dream a little.
Yes, yes.
Make believe.
Yes.
And it offers energy, and energy gets stuff done.
Mm-hmm. You know, because we operate with spit and gum around here. Mm-hmm. I mean, the funding is minimal mm-hmm. for what we do and accomplish, you know. The kind of creative process that we do that results in a play, most people don't know mm-hmm. the behind the scenes machinations of it all mm-hmm. and what it takes. It takes a lot of work and a lot of money. And to make it look easy and effortless and seamless, mm-hmm. which is what it's supposed to look like. But it's a lot of work. When I see brothers and sisters out there, you know, just trying to figure out how to get through the day, I count my blessings.
Yeah.
You know, I count my blessings. Because, you know, we're all just a hair away from being a casualty.
Mm-hmm. What do you see for the future for the Roby? What's
Oh, we're going to stay here and just keep doing theater, do what we do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And because, really, this is all about a reflection of society. That's what it is,
yes,
you know,
yes.
In time and space. Sometimes it's present and current, sometimes not so much. Mm-hmm. This is a period piece, but it's still, when you see it, is a very much a reflection of the society then mm-hmm. and a kind of metaphor for now.
Right.
So, we'll be here.
Good.
We'll be here. We've been here for 18 years, which is a phenomenon in itself, just to be able to last that long. And it's been a lot of fun and a lot of learning, too, mm-hmm. you know? Because one of the things Paul Robeson said was he wished in his old age to be with tribesmen because he loved the ways and the idea of learning and knowledge, which is a big part of the process here. I mean, the whole idea of periodically being able to go into different worlds like this world tonight, of 1915, St. Augustine, Florida, and discover it mm-hmm. and try to recreate elements of it. It's a real learning experience, and that's a big fun for me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's the fun part.
Yeah.
Because what other occupation is there where you get an opportunity to do all of that on a regular basis, you know?
Not too many.
No. No. So, you know, I'm blessed. I always got health, got a couple of kids who came out okay, got a wife that, you know, we get along, you know, that kind of thing. And I've got some really good colleagues working in the theater. Mm-hmm. Thank God for simple blessings, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's
it's good to meet you too, man.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Van. You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Ben, for a great interview, and thank you for the great job you do at the Roby Theater Company. We're back in the studio with our in-studio guest, actor, community activist, Lee Shaw. We're going to be talking about the culture life of the Skid Row community, but first we're going to do a reading from a speech by Marcus Garvey, and then we'll come back. Lee, can you tell us a little about what we're going to hear?
Yeah, Marcus Garvey went around to some of the black communities throughout the nation. And when he came back, he in a speech, he said that what he found was, I just come back from a 38-state tour in order to study the conditions of the black people in America. Let me tell you what I found in this year of 1916. I found that the Negro leaders of our people have no program. They're just living off their so-called leadership while our people continue groping in the dark, looking for a little light.
Okay, now how do you relate that to what's happening in the Skid Row community?
It's still the same. From 1916 to 2011, nothing has changed. The leadership is stale. The life leadership, Skid Row, east of Los Angeles Street, is still the same. On the other side of Los Angeles Street, it's a little different because now you have the lofts, you have the, you know, the money come on that side right there. So, you know, leadership bends that way. But for the people down there, it ain't never going to change until the leadership changes.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. What should the community expect out of their leadership?
At this stage?
Mm-hmm. What do you think the community should expect out of the people that's supposed to represent them as leaders?
If I were them, I wouldn't expect anything. Mm-hmm. What I would do is I would get involved in the process of voting, you know, and change the leadership. Because as long as you have the people you have in office right now, mm-hmm. it's going to be about money. Everybody has a price. Some people love their people. They have a price that they pay. Some people get a monetary price for selling people out. Mm-hmm. Those who love their people, they pay a price called death.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. What you consider one of the most important thing that we can get from studying the life and works of Marcus Garvey?
Well, Marcus Garvey is a blueprint. You know, he set the blueprint up for leadership. One of the things, when he came here to work with Booker T. Washington. Unfortunately for him, Booker T. Washington passed away, which pushed him on to where he had to go. You know what I'm saying? And those who came after him, right, after his deportation, those who followed him, the Garveyites, as they call them, adopted the same thing, self-help. You have to help self, your family, your immediate family, your extended family, your people. You know what I'm saying? And this is what he taught. This is what he was pushing. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't like Booker T. White. He didn't say, "Yeah, I have to hate you." No, I can love you and love my people the same way. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna help myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And this is what he was teaching. These intellectuals of that time pushed him to the side, right? Because now their agenda was this right here. I am white educated. I think this way, and we can all get along. I'm not Rodney King, and neither was Marcus Garvey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We can get along, but I got to do for myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way I'm going to get what I deserve. I have to do it for myself.
Okay. Beautiful. We're going to do some later shows where we're going to spend a lot of time discussing Marcus Garvey in details. And we'll be hearing more from you from the Voices from the Ether portion of the show, in which we're getting ready to head into now the Voices from the Ether portion of the show.
How do you separate the present from the past?
If it's Monday night, about 15 minutes to 9, then you're listening to Voices from the Ether. Playing in the background is Howl by my good friend Roger Carnes, who will be performing this holiday season at the Far Bar, located at 347 East 1st Street, Los Angeles, California, on December 3rd, 15th, and 29th. For more information and reservations, call 213-617-9990. You can also visit Roger online at www.rogercairns.com.
Like the branches of a vine that intertwine. So many habits that we'll have to break. And yesterday.
For the census tonight, a recorded piece, Summertime, performed by Jerome St. Jerome and Franchi Joy at an open mic that was held at the Exchange, downtown Los Angeles, Sunday, November 20th, 2011.
Thank you.
Summertime, performed by Jerome St. Jerome and Franchi Joy. Summertime's a piece of music that came from the musical Porky and Bess. Yes, that was one of the first musicals I ever saw. I was a sophomore in high school and came all the way out here to downtown Los Angeles and saw it at the Mark Taper Forum. Okay, the next guest I have that we're going to hear, he and I have something in common. When we first met back in 2006, I think. We were both residents at the Midnight Mission and lived in the same dorm. And I had no idea this many years later we'd still be knowing each other and being
friends. That's right.
So everything happens for a reason. To intro, we're going to play a little piece from Father's Day. I really like what Lee had to say on Father's Day about his dad and family.
Very special day for me and my family. This is a day that I get to honor my father.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes people got, they got different names for fathers. They call them father, dad, stepfather.
What happened? Oh no, we just lost that audio track. It was a good track, but that's okay. Technical difficulties. We just love them. Anyway, we're going to get the live Lee. And Lee's going to do a piece that Melvin wrote. And it's called Poverty Pimp. And this piece appears in Nailheads, right, Melvin? It's one of the little vignettes in Nailheads. So, Lee, you want to give us a taste of Poverty Pimp?
Oh, yeah. Poverty pimps are the community activists who fail to call out the vampires who suck the life's blood of the community. They might be your friend, but they're still selling dope and overpriced goods, and that's still a sin. Just like the money changers, you suck the life's blood of the community. Think you so cool cause you walk with a limp? I know better. You're just a poverty pimp. Using the misery of the community to get what you want, things stay the same while you run your game. Seeking to cause disunity so you can scream. The system is the problem. It's just a dream. Now you act like you don't know what to do. You don't care about the community. You care about you. You are the system because you pimp like the system. Pimping off the misery of the community. Poverty pimps walking with a limp. One foot in Hollywood and the other one on Skid Row. Like we don't know. Still playing the master's game. Pimping in Skid Row. Poverty pimp. Dropping your pants and walking with a limp. Showing your behind like a poverty pimp. You all for yourself. You don't care about the rest. You want the worst for the young and not what's best. Now you argue and cause confusions like the hypocrites do. You don't care about the community. You care about you. Pimping off the misery of the community. Selling dreams that turn into nightmares. Acting like you care. Leading the people nowhere. The blind leading the blind while the community stays behind. Poverty pimps, sucking the life's blood of the community without the fancy clothes and car. You're still a poverty pimp. That's what you are.
You know, Melvin, you posed a question earlier about the leadership in Skid Row. Well, there's your answer. Poverty pimps. Skid Row is the capital of poverty pimps.
That's right. From
the overpriced stores to, I hate to say it, a lot of the leadership in the treatment facilities and LAPD and a lot of the other organizations that are down there that are saying that they're there to help, but a lot of them are just filling up their own coffers for their retirement and really don't care about the residents or the those that are being caught up in the system of torture that we call Skid Row. Okay, we're going to close this visit with the Ether, with a recorded session made up of open mic performances held at the historic but now boarded up by the City of Los Angeles Old 23 Firehouse, located on 5th Street, downtown Los Angeles, the heart of Skid Row. It didn't. Oh no, we have another bad bit of Tate tonight. That means we have some airtime, and I think Lee has something prepared here.
You know, when you think about Skid Row, I remember when I came to California back in 1963, my first introduction to this area down here was like something like 65 or 66. I used to go to the State Theater and, go to the show. And at that time, they had a lot of little clubs and the military people were down here and everything. And it was kind of blooming, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But still, Los Angeles Street was the borderline for everything.
Yes.
Those clubs that they went to was on the other, was west of,
it was west,
west of Los Angeles.
Right,
and
right.
The other people was always on the east end.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Now, living in a country like we live in, especially a city like Los Angeles, there should not be one homeless person nowhere. Given that much of time, from 65. From 65 to 2011, you mean to tell me that you can't come up with an idea to keep the people off the street and get them in the house, get them somewhere? No, you're living off of them.
Hmm.
You're breathing and like an old blood leech. You're sucking the life blood of the people. And you're lying to everybody else. They're lying to people. They're telling everything they possibly can. Oh, well, I have a PhD, a master's degree, and all this right here. Well, with all your education you got, you can't come up with some solution for the homeless problem?
Hmm. Now, one thing that we talk about all the time in Drama State School, Rob, we've been dealing with it later, is we come to the conclusion that we feel that the veterans homeless situation, I feel there are two things that we have to look at in relationship to the homeless problem. Number one, the veterans homeless situation should move towards the forefront in terms of becoming the vanguard of the whole homeless problem. And the reason for that is because all of the federal money that would be available, one of the largest part of the United States budget is the military budget. So they still have a responsibility to the veterans, especially the homeless veterans. So this might give us a chance to really look at some models and some solutions that can be supported by the federal government as we seek solutions to the homeless problem, and then use it as the homeless problem, use it as the general solutions to the homeless problem for all. And the second thing, And I talk about this often, I think it's important for these religious organizations, the Christians and the Muslims and the Jewish organization, to buy up or either rent some of this empty property that you have all over Los Angeles, all these empty buildings, and buy some of this, make this part of your congregation, and start programming, start developing some programs to pull some of these homeless individuals into your congregation. I think if the religious community step up, that would make a big dent into the homeless problems. So we're going to move. Tyrone, you want to say anything else into tying us up into the ether portion of the show?
Wrapping up the ether portion of the show tonight, I'm telling you, everything's going to come to this place in MP3 format or WAV format in the future, so we don't have this problem again. Anyway, all my favorite listeners out there, Voices from the Ether would like to invite you to call in at 1-800-893-9562 for our future episodes. If you want to call in and read some spoken word pieces or share some thoughts in the last 15 minutes of our show, it would be greatly appreciated. Again, the call-in number for the future will be 1-800-893-9562 if you want to be, or if you want to call in live and participate in the Voices from the Ether section. So now we're going to give it back to Melvin and close out for this evening.
Okay, thank you, Tyrone. I'd like to thank our in-studio guests, actor, community activist Lee Shaw, and on the line, Andy Griggs of ICUJP, Ben Guillory of the Roby Theater Company, Reverend Sandy Riches of the First United Methodist Church of Los Angeles, And a special thanks to Jeremy in the Skid Row Studio. You can check out past shows of the Qumran Report on iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, or www.dramastage-qumran.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report, and I leave you with the song that opened the show, I'm Getting Stronger by Barris Hammond.
But I sure got star. Got some good friends, but still some who hate me. Tell them lies, and still that don't wake me. The joy that's inside brings out my healthy smile, my smile. Now try if you won't, can't stop me, lie if you won't. Still won't move me, won't move me, no. Estimate me and you end up sorry. The fact I'm under you like a child. Oh yeah, I'm getting stronger, so much stronger, day by day. Yeah, I'm getting stronger, so much stronger. Can't move me, can't move me. I still gotta make it. Always pushing this high is my limit. So keep your idle talk, I don't have the time. No, no. There's so much in life if you're willing to earn it. Give you some of mine, but please don't stress it. Awake from your slumber, open up your eyes. Yeah, try if you want. Can't stop me, lie you won't. Some good friends, but still some who